The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If I drive, it's 5 and a half plus the hour change. I got there at about 11 o'clock. Well, I would have.
Wait, you didn't do it again, did you? Oh, come on. Come on!
There's still some overlap between the needle and the slash below the E.
How low are you going to go?
Oh, I've been in the slash many times. This is nothing. You'll get used to it. Just put it out of your mind.
How many times does this have to happen?
Chew?
This is unbelievable.
Chew. What, you went to Bloomington, Illinois instead of Indiana?
Ever been completely below the slash?
Well, I almost did once, and I blacked out. When I came to, the car was in a ditch, and the tank was full.
Oh, she ran out of gas.
How
do you run out of gas when you're going on a trip that far?
Okay.
I mean, you run out of gas when you're dropping the kids off to school, or you're 5 miles.
Is it just the angle I'm looking from?
No, sir. We are down there.
Oh, this is amazing. Oh, I never felt so alive.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans.
And RSVP and send. And I am going to my girlfriend's house for Friendsgiving. Every year they have a Friendsgiving, which is, you know, because you got to go to Thanksgiving with your family.
That's impressive.
You do?
I mean, to have the invites out this early.
Oh, yeah. She's on top of things. She loves hosting events. She's got a great house. She loves hosting the neighborhood, hosting the people. She'll have a full spread, full menu. Like, you'll be like, can I bring anything? She'll say no. You'll bring something and she'll be mad at you that you brought something, like that whole thing. You guys got events and plans and things that you go to, don't you, Chew?
Against his will.
Yes. We're staying here. Not a very big group, but I think it's going to be mostly friends on Thanksgiving.
Good. So, well, that'll be fun.
No big plans.
And they always go smoothly, right? You get invited to someone's house, and it always goes smoothly, doesn't it, Chew?
We're having another New Year's Eve party. Do you remember the drama last year? That's been decided.
Vaguely. You always have drama.
There was something about some people being invited, inviting themselves, I believe.
And then he said it on the radio, and they heard about it.
Yeah. So I think we're in the works to not have that problem again.
Any other?
Chewy, what did you do yesterday?
Oh. Oh yeah.
What did you think when I was saying it in your ear?
I had a real life story yesterday. Okay, so here you go. So last minute, our friends invited us over for dinner, right? Hold on, listen.
Yeah,
we're listening.
The phrase "lead a horse to water." You ever heard that one? Okay, good. I want to make sure we're all on the same page.
You were basically dunking his head in the water. And he just refused to drink it.
Okay, so yesterday.
Yes. So our friends, good friends, live right down the road from us, invited us over for dinner, and they were having chicken noodle soup. And we're like, sure, yeah, that'd be great. But that's all it was, is chicken noodle soup. So I said, you know, I was going to cook up burgers over here for lunch, me and Ann. Do you mind if I bring them over? And it was kind of a, oh, okay. Like, chicken noodle soup by itself is not a meal. It's not a meal.
Well, it is, like, if you're home from school sick.
If you're on your deathbed, you can't really keep much down.
Throw a couple saltines on the side, a Sprite, and you got yourself lunch.
But stew is a meal. But you got to have bread with it. Like, this was standalone chicken noodle soup and Chardonnay.
Chicken noodle soup and chardonnay.
That's a lot of liquid in your belly, by the way.
Hold on, and me and Josh, he already had this conversation. Does chicken noodle soup standing by itself a meal?
I don't think so. I think he's right. I think it's a appetizer. It's a accompaniment. It is not a standalone meal.
Yeah, you need it. Like if it's going to try to stand on its own, you need to prop it up with like a good hearty bread. You know, you need a little something
but
more.
But let me ask you this, okay? I'm kind of a big guy.
Oh, really?
Are people sometimes blinded by my size? Because you should look at me and go, chicken noodle
revved up like a deuce.
Are you kidding me?
I don't think people are blinded by your size. I think people are pretty aware.
Yeah, but when it comes to a meal,
I mean,
I'm a little surprised that your friends kind of like scoffed at your suggestion of bringing...
Well, because they were having Chardonnay, and everybody knows Chardonnay and burgers. Is there a bigger faux pas?
Does not go together. What if you had also brought a red to go with the burgers? Would that have been okay?
The red would have been a better choice.
Yeah. So I'm a little surprised that your friends, you know, you volunteered to bring something else to the table, to the party, and they were like, could you not? Like, that's where I, you know, like, trying to pass chicken noodle soup off as a standalone meal is one thing. But when you offer to bring something to kind of beef it up a little bit, pun intended, and they go, no, thank you, that's where it goes sideways for me.
I guess I've got a couple of follow-up questions here, Chew. How old, because you are in Florida, you know, a lot of old people down there, and I feel for, you know, older people, they don't eat as much. You know, chicken noodle soup could probably be a meal for them. Are they older than you?
No, they're my age.
Okay.
Mine and Angie's age. But here's the problem, I think.
Gabe's
buddy,
like, do they have teeth? If they remove their teeth at night, Chew, then we understand why they're having soup as a meal.
See, my buddy is OCD to the 409th degree. And he cleaned the grill before I put the burgers on. And then he cleaned the grill immediately after. So I don't think it was the fact that we were bringing thing.
Like full on clean, or he just took the brush?
Full on clean. Full on clean. Because I cooked the burgers because I was the only one eating them. And
how many burgers did you bring
over? I shut the grill. Four. Okay. No, he actually had one. But I shut the grill off, and he's like, no, you got to burn all that off.
Maybe there's a vegetarian in the house.
So I'm glad that you bring that up, Joshy, because to me, immediately, I go to dietary restrictions. And if you invite someone over for dinner, it is not so much about the food, it is about the company. So what do you care if the people you invite over are like, oh, not my favorite, what you're offering, but I'll bring something. Because again, now you're enjoying their company, right? You and the guy are out there, you're flipping burgers, you're chit-chatting, maybe having a Chardonnay or two. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't get mad if somebody is like, I don't love what you're offering, but I'm happy to bring. And again, you don't say it that way, but that's sort of the messaging that you're getting across. But I'm happy to bring something so that we can, in fact, share that time, enjoy each other's company.
I bet you probably enjoyed the chicken noodle soup. It just wasn't enough for you. You needed a hearty burger.
It was delicious. And here's the deal. I wanted to bring subs over. Right, because subs with chicken noodle soup go. But of course, Angie, now we had subs for lunch. We got to have burgers. And I'm like, burgers, Chardonnay, and chicken noodle soup. That just sounds like a disaster in the toilet.
I don't want to get pedantic here, but I think there's plenty of soups that do serve as a meal.
That's a great point.
Some of the heavier, like cream-based versus the chicken stock.
Pedantic away. That is fantastic. That is a great nuance, Joshy. You have hearty soups.
Right.
And you have a soup that you have as a side to your BLT.
Because nobody ever would go...
Tomato soup, yeah.
No one would ever go, tomato soup, yeah, that's my whole meal.
Yeah.
There's just not enough substance there. Like, at my house, we have soup Sundays. Every single Sunday, Mussolini makes a wonderful soup. And that's typically our meal, but they are heartier. They are a full meal.
Does calling it wonderful, is it... Does it take away that you call her Mussolini?
Yes, that's a little trick here, Jen. Come on, keep up.
But
they kind of balance each other out.
Like, I could treat cream of broccoli as a meal, but there has to be a bread with it.
Yeah, I think having a side of bread with a lot of those soups is big.
Or a bread bowl, right? That's the other way that you elevate it. You take a bread bowl, put the soup in the bread bowl. Now it feels more like a meal than just offering the soup.
What about chili? Can chili stand 100%. Just on its own?
Yeah, absolutely.
On its own, nothing.
Correct.
Yeah. I love a chili bar. I know I've told you guys this, but like the pickles on the one, the onions in the one, the cheese in the one, the oyster crackers in the one. I'll throw some goldfish out there as a chili accompaniment. Big fan. Sour cream. Okay, Jen, relax. Getting
goodness
hungry
gracious.
Here. 7:10.
Yeah.
So Chew, it sounds like we're all sort of in agreement, right? Like there are different explanations for why we're in agreement, but I think we're all on the same page that a chicken noodle soup as dinner, because again, that's the other distinction, right?
Yeah.
It's not talking about lunch. You know, you invite a friend over for lunch, you're having chicken noodle soup. For dinner, chicken noodle soup is, I don't think it cuts it.
What's the difference between a soup and a stew?
Heartiness.
Okay.
It's kind of like, I can't explain it, but I know it when I see it.
Okay.
Because
like a
chili
stew.
Chili fall under a stew?
Probably.
Chili's chili.
Yeah, chili's chili. Chili's its own category.
Yeah, chili's.
Well, there's only one kind of stew. Well, give me another stew. What's a stew?
What do you mean?
Beef stew? That's it.
I feel like there's more than beef stew, right?
He might have us right now.
Yeah,
I'm going through my stew Rolodex, and I got to be honest. I'm not coming up with anything. But I'm going to look up what's the difference between a stew and a soup.
I think it was a combination of two things. My buddy didn't want to get the grill dirty, and they underestimated how much
we're being idiots
potentially
here.
Eat
gumbo and jambalaya, all stews.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Brunswick stew, seafood stews. You see those a lot.
Yep,
there is beef.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But that seafood bisque. Now bisque is different because that's when everything is sort of strained or blended and strained. Uh-huh. I do have the difference here from the old Google. For a stew versus a soup. And it's actually quite easy. Uh-huh. Like, we should have known this. It's the ratio. It's the liquid to solids, solids to liquid. So soup has more liquid than stew. Stew has less liquid than soup. The ingredients are chunkier in stew. The ingredients are smaller in soup.
Like, best can't stand alone. That cannot stand alone.
No. That's correct.
I don't even think, like, a broccoli cheese can't even either, really.
If there's bread... If there's a good bread with it, then I think it can.
I mean, it feels like you're scraping the bottom of the barrel during Lent season there, Chew, if you're doing just some sort of cream of broccoli and bread. But yeah, you could probably make it.
Okay.
Make do.
Okay. I just got some information.
We have breaking news.
According to Google, chili is technically a stew.
Jeez.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
It kind of makes sense.
I mean, I guess, but...
I'm just saying, we were very confident in our
chili's chili,
thank you, declaration, and
chili's
all of a sudden
chili.
The internet
is
saying...
Put that on the poll, is chili
stew. No.
What's
chili's
the
chili.
Origin?
Chili's still its own
what's
thing.
What's the origin of chili? Is it Mexican?
Hold.
We're asking all the very important questions this morning.
Yeah, but you know what? This is Ashton's fault. This is totally Ashton's fault. Because he wanted to be called a boss yesterday. This is his fault because we've been doing this long enough where we should have outside help just Googling stuff for us all day long.
We just need a Googler?
We just need somebody on Google standby at all times.
Just out of curiosity, Chew, what would you pay a Googler?
I'd make him an intern and not pay him anything.
Yeah, that
sounds about right for you. Right.
Also, I'd hate to break the news to you, but federally, it is a law now that we pay interns.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
No more non-paid internships. Free work, free labor. The exact origin of chili is unknown, but it is likely that the dish originated in Texas-Mexico border towns and spread north from
Hit
there.
It.
You were half right. You said Mexico. So good job. You nailed one word out of the entire explanation.
Chewy was right.
Faded out. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. The Bucks win last night, taking on the Sixers in the season opener. Robert Saleh shows up at Packers practice. Did we or did we not talk about that when Robert Saleh was fired right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because of his relationship with Matt LaFleur? And we have Jason Wilde coming up next. Certainly we'll ask him about the chicken noodle soup. Stick around.
Want to tell you about our good friends at Ewald Automotive Group. Whether you're hauling, towing, or just plain trucking, it's truck month at Ewald Automotive Group. They have hundreds of the toughest trucks from Chevy, Ford, GMC, and Ram. I have test driven a lot of these trucks over the years. For Ewald, you cannot go wrong with payments as low as $299 per month for financing as low as 0%, all backed by the Ewald exclusive 20-year, 100,000-mile warranty. It's going on now while supplies last. Offer expires at month's end, so you want to get in quickly. There's only a week left in the month. It's all easy. All you have to do is go to ewaldauto.com.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big story at Packers practice yesterday was the appearance of Robert Saleh, former Jets head football coach and friend of Green Bay Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. But before we get to that, Jason, Chewy has a dilemma. Chewy, I'm going to let you tee that up for our friend Jason Wilde this morning.
Jason, can chicken noodle soup by itself, nothing else, stand alone as a meal for dinner?
No, Kenny Banya. It can't. Yeah,
okay.
No. So I'm on your side on this, which, again, is not a place that I feel comfortable, really comfortable most of the time. But this is ridiculous. Now, here, if I may follow up, so you went into this, just for clarity's sake, you went into this knowing that it was that the air quotes main course was going to be chicken noodle soup, so you brought your own meat?
Well, here's the deal.
That's a yes.
So Angie was supposed to be out of town because she went to Dallas for work and wasn't going to be back till Thursday. So they were nice enough to invite me over. So Angie came back. They didn't know it. And I had bought burgers for me and Ange for that night because I didn't think we were going over for chicken noodle soup. So we ultimately did. And I said, can I bring the burgers to fry them up that we were going to make for dinner, and they were taken aback.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was a hearty chicken noodle soup, and you put the oyster crackers or the saltines in there to add a little more heft.
No, there were nothing. Jason, yeah, was just chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, no, I mean, as Gabe well knows, this was a Seinfeld episode. I feel like this is well established. Like, I don't want to. I'm sure your friends, they were trying to help you out, right? Like, they figured caveman can't handle making himself dinner while wife is gone, so we invite him over out of the kindness of our dumb old hearts. But it's got to be more than chicken soup. Like, it's just, that's not, if you do tomato soup, you do, like, grilled cheese sandwiches, right? Like, I don't know what you would pair with your chicken noodle soup, but... Yeah, it got to be more than that. Sorry.
But you think they underestimated my size, Jason? And like
anybody who hasn't stood next to you underestimates your size.
But there's no way they could go, oh, that'll fill him up. Like, my wife made a full-on breakfast this morning on a Thursday. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm starving.
Lay off me. I'm starving.
She had soup for dinner. Okay, Chewy, can we get to the Packer stuff? We good? We got
Jason's?
Yeah,
we're good.
Okay,
we're good. I feel better.
How big of a soup? Like, would this have to be like a kid's swimming pool?
Well, see, now we sucked him in.
Yep, he's
we
in.
Tried to pivot out.
It was a full crock pot, Jason.
And you would have to eat that whole crock pot for it to be a meal. Right?
Yeah, and then some. I mean,
but then your eyeballs are floating and everything. Like, that's a lot of liquid to put in. And a lot of sodium, by the way.
Yeah, he puts in a lot of liquid in his body every day. You've seen the size of that water bottle.
This is nutrition.
All right, we good?
Yeah.
Jason, a couple things with Saleh. Was this a photo op? And why did he work with the off? Did LaFleur want to steer clear of, like, no, you're not going with the defense. I don't want to answer questions about that. So you're going to be with the offense. Why did it happen like that?
Yeah, so I don't think he's doing it just so we can't ask him a bunch of questions. And no, I don't think it was just a photo op. I don't think, I mean, he's going to be there again today at practice, and then he's heading back on Friday. He and his wife have 7 kids. Wow.
So you're just looking to get out of the house?
Well, see, this is I was trying to just set up the straight line for others to make jokes. But LaFleur, so LaFleur told us, this is a really good story, because I think we all thought after he got fired, hey, this makes a lot of sense. You know, LaFleur was the best man in his wedding. They've been friends since 2004, so that's 20 years. They used to be roommates at Central Michigan when they were on the coaching staff together. So, you know, this makes a lot of sense if Sala wants to do something. Now, you know, coaches chew, like coaches coach. And if they get fired, they're still looking for something to do. I mean, you know, also former NFL players have, you know, working with multiple of them at ESPN Wisconsin. They, A, want to be around the game more often than not, and B, they don't do well with nothing to do. And so LaFleur reached out immediately and said, look, if you want to get, you know, if you're looking for something to do, there's a spot here for you. But LaFleur also said that he told Sala, you know, spend some time with your family. Like, you don't have to do this. I assume that if the Packers are paying him, they're like paying him minimum wage. Because if there's any sort of offset language in his contract with the Jets, any money that they would pay him would then be less than Woody Johnson would owe him, if that's the case. And if I got fired, I'd be like, forget these guys, man. I'll work for you for free. I want to make them pay every penny they owe me. Mm-hmm. So, but it, the question that you asked that I think is the most important is how they're going to utilize him. And I don't think it's BS that they're going to use him to look at the offense from a defensive coordinator's perspective and identify weaknesses, holes, openings, areas where they need to have some answers. If I was a defensive coordinator for this game using this scheme, I would do this. Because they've done that already. They brought in Aubrey Pleasant, who played at Wisconsin, if I recall.
Correct.
Yep. And who has bounced around a little in coaching. He'd been with the Rams. I think he got fired by the Lions in 2022, and that's when LaFleur brought him in as an analyst or whatever he was, advisor, some consultant. I don't remember what title they gave him. But he basically did the same thing. He looked at the offense from a defensive perspective and contributed that way. So, you know, they introduced him at a team meeting in the morning. They explained what they're doing. Two things I would add, though. One, remember that Jeff Hafley worked with him for 2 years in San Francisco. And I flat out asked LaFleur if he would have done this if Jeff Hafley, or did Jeff Hafley's experience with Robert Saleh allow him to do this? Would he have been reluctant to do it if that wasn't the case? And he said absolutely he would have been. So that's a key factor. So it's not stepping on Hafley's toes. And then there is definitely a separation of church and state. LaFleur made it very clear that he does not want Robert Saleh meddling with the defense, that they've got a good thing going. He trusts Hafley and his staff. But that doesn't mean that Jeff Hafley, if he's working on something and has a new idea, and Robert Saleh walks down the hallway, he can't say, hey, Bob, come in here for a sec and go through his thought process with him. So I think this is a win-win-win for everybody, in large part because the Hafley defense is working, it's trending in the right direction, and he has a pre-existing relationship with Saleh, so they've worked together before, as has Adam Stenovich. So anything that Saleh is giving to the offense, he's talking with a guy that he's worked with as well.
How long, I mean, I know he's going to be there today and then he's going back, going back home on Friday, but how much more do we think that he's going to be around?
Well, Gabe, it's very fluid, or pretty fluid. I can't remember which phrase LaFleur used. I would assume that he's going to come back a couple days a week moving forward, but that has not been ironed out. I don't think it's just a, whew, we really need him for this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I would think that they would have him back on a somewhat regular basis. Now, I do know that James Campen, who's one of my all-time favorite assistants and a former Chewy teammate, is working as a consultant in the scouting department And he is working primarily from home. I think he lives in Florida now. But he comes up every so often to, you know, actually meet and be at practice and everything else. So I could also see Salah doing a lot of this remotely and then coming, you know, once or twice a month. So, again, we don't know that. That's just my conjecturing.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason, what happens on Sunday? What has to happen on Sunday if the Packers lose the game? Because I'm looking at all the metrics and I'm looking at all the stats and I'm seeing the situation that the Jaguars find themselves in. And I got to be honest, I don't see a way, you know, beyond the standard, I know, controlling the time of possession, taking the ball away, you know, but I just don't think they have the weapons to hang with Green Bay this weekend. What do you think?
Well, again, that's a phrase that I just have banned myself from using ever since the media bus ride to Super Bowl 32 in San Diego against the 12.5-point underdog Denver Broncos. I don't see any way the Packers lose this game. So, yeah, could Chewy have played better? Sure. Could they have kept Paul Fraze active so they would have had another defensive lineman to play when Gabe Wilkins quit on his team? Sure. But that game was lost on the media bus by me. And it's all my fault. I own that.
I knew it wasn't me.
I've apologized to you many times over the years, and I will do so again now because I was the one who put the whammy on you just like Jen did to the Packers. But it's true that it is hard to see a path to defeat for the Packers, right? I mean, yeah, a great win for Jacksonville against an even worse team in the New England Patriots. So you're right. The standard things do apply. Significant injury, ton of turnovers by Jordan Favre, whatever it may be. But look, this is the kind of game that you have to remember that the other guys get paid too. And even if they're not a good professional football team, they are still a professional football team. And if you play poorly, if you make a bunch of mistakes, if you are sleepwalking through the game, you know, Davante Adams just got done apparently giving a big speech to the Jets right after he arrived because their energy was poor. I assume it's going to be hot down there again. They don't have a great track record of playing well in games played in the state of Florida under Matt LaFleur. So I suppose there is a path to defeat, but it's hard for me to picture that. I would think that this team knows, hey, we win this one, we're on a 4-game winning streak going into a Detroit matchup where we want to, you know, they took it to us last year when they came to our place. We don't want to be stumbling into that game.
Jason, I saw that Rob wrote that the Packers, well, there are reports that the Packers are trying to shop Preston Smith. Do you believe this to be true? I think it's a mistake. What do you think?
I don't know what the return on that in that trade would be. Again, I do think that they feel like Lucas Van Ness needs to play to get better. They really like JJ and Igbare. I don't know, though. Like, I understand that you're the youngest team in the league and Preston is, like, having Don Beebe out there. And I mean, like, Don Beebe now. He's in his 50s. Like, that's the idea that they just want to keep getting younger and they have young players that they want to play. But I'm with you. I think they saw I would think that they, at least in some way, were reminded that older guys have a value when you need someone to step in. If you look at what Eric Wilson did on Sunday, right? Like, you lose Quay Walker. I mean, the guy didn't take a single snap at Mike linebacker. He takes the green dot helmet. He has 2 sacks. He has 4 tackles for losses. He breaks up a pass. Like, guys that know what the hell they're doing are valuable. And, yeah, do you want them playing 100% of the defensive snaps for 17 games? Probably not. But those are the guys that when the chips are down, you know they've been there, done that. And while you're willing to do that with your kicker and you feel like you needed to do that with your kicker, You don't feel that way about your edge rusher, your defensive end. I saw there was, and I don't know if there's anything to this, but there was, because it wasn't from a what I would consider a reputable Twitter source, which I know is a waning concept, but that maybe the Packers have some interest in Denzel Ward if the Browns are looking to dump him. Now that intrigues me, because why do they feel that way given what they've got at corner? Do they have other plans for some of these other corners? So I don't know. There's a lot of talk this time of year, but yeah, the two names that I saw Ian Rappaport mention from the Packers were Preston Smith and Andre Dillard, who would help somebody who maybe needs a tackle if they've had an injury issue.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch follows Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We will continue the conversation about Robert Saleh and the impact that he can have on the Green Bay Packers. And look, Jaguars, maybe. Great. Wonderful. Lions, yes, please. We'll have that conversation right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But first, guys, if you haven't been to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's Sportsbook yet, what exactly are you waiting for? You are missing out on an elite experience. It is a complete sports betting paradise. And guys, we were there last night for Weekly Wager, 6 to 7 each and every Wednesday, give you our best bets of the week. I had the fried chicken at the Kitchen, their new restaurant. Fantastic. Delicious. Got home. My kids all wanted some as well. Nope, not sharing. Not sharing the fried chicken from Kitchen at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel new sportsbook. So if you don't want to make bets, I can tell you that the fried chicken is worth the trip itself. They've got free parking as well, 20-minute reserve structured parking. They have really figured it all out. You can bet above the rest and enjoy some fantastic food only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Sportsbook.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like,
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's worth, there are people still weighing in on the soup debate from the first segment of the show. Chewy went to dinner at his friend's house last night. They served him chicken noodle soup. That's it. That's all. That's the end of the story. It's not. He brought burgers. And they were not happy that he brought burgers to accompany their offering of chicken noodle soup. Chewy's position is soup itself, especially a thin broth soup like chicken noodle soup, is not sufficient dinner fare.
The only follow-up I have, Chew, off of this, what's the temperature down there? Like, when you were sitting down for dinner, what was the temperature outside in Florida?
Probably 80, 81. It's still like 87 during the day.
It's too warm for soup.
Gabe, I can eat soup when it's 95 degrees. I love soup. Love it.
You just don't like it by itself. Chef Ed wants to know if you consider borscht a meal by itself.
I can do that because I'll eat like six bowls of it. Like, my sons always make me a double batch. They make me a double batch of borscht and it's gone. It never makes it to the third day.
Sure, but you can't go over to someone's house and eat six bowls of soup. Like, that's another faux pas.
I needed burgers.
Yeah. Chewy had an answer.
He had a plan.
He had a remedy for the situation.
The yep, exactly. If there was a problem, Chewy will solve it.
See, this was the problem, Jen, and they may have anticipated this, but I had my first glass of Chardonnay with my first bowl of soup.
Uh-oh.
They might have thought I'd been coming earlier, had maybe four or five glasses down where I didn't have as, I wouldn't have needed as much because you don't want to wreck your buzz.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that would have came
soup. Do you know what a soup down the buzz?
So they were hoping that you were going to more or less drink your dinner.
Well, here's the problem, and I left my wife here. She, punctuality is not her thing, right? So I left her here. She's like, "Where did you go?" I said, "They said between 6 and 6:30. I gave you to 6:35. I'm not getting fined because you're late." Okay.
So much PTSD.
She's like, I came out of my office at 6. She arrived at 6:48. She's like, where'd you go? I'm like, it's 6:48.
I love it. I love it so much.
We're on Lombardi time. I live on Lombardi time. Gabe, you know I live on Lombardi time.
Oh, 100%.
And speaking of Lombardi, too, I want to get your opinion on the Robert Saleh being at practice yesterday, being at practice today, them using his knowledge and expertise to try to get a leg up, to try to advance their offense. We had this conversation when Robert Saleh was fired. That was, do you want Robert Saleh now? The caveat when we had that conversation was we believed it would be assisting the defense. And there were a lot of people who weighed in saying, so long as it doesn't ruffle Jeff Hafley's feathers, right? That was the position that a lot of people took. You don't want to upset the guy you have in there, undermine the guy you have in there. But in a plot twist, a turn of events, he was not there to assist the defense. He was there to help the offense sort of, I don't know, work around, like see any defensive holes, see maybe how a defense would take advantage of. Chu, you're okay with this this twist.
And I'll tell you what his purpose is there. So we all, and it's true, we believe that Matt LaFleur is one of the best coaches when it comes to scheming guys open. Would you agree?
Yes.
He's very good at it. So what he does is he'll pick Saleh's brain. He's like, all right, I want to run this. What would you do if I put the zebra in motion here? How would you adjust? I'd do that. Well, what if I offset the back instead of putting the zebra? Well, I would do this. Well, how can I get them in the defense I want schematically through motion or formation where this guy will pop wide open? That's what Saleh is there for. He'll go, I would do this. I'd offset here. I'd motion here. They're going to go to a base coverage, which is what you want, or they're going to go to a man coverage, and this guy will come out the back door wide open. That's what he's there for, in a nutshell, I believe.
And you think that's good, right?
I think it's very good. You know, I think it's very good. Because, look, Saleh's going to be a defensive coordinator next year somewhere, right?
Yep.
He still looked upon as one of the best defensive coordinators in the game. So, yeah, it's a total advantage. Total advantage for them.
How long did it take when Saleh got to LaFleur's house for them to talk about Rodgers? Right? Like, you know that Saleh was like, you warned me. You told me, you gave me a heads up. I thought I could swim in those waters. I thought I could navigate it. Right, Gabe? You know that they were like cheersing. Yeah. Like,
I bet their text messages have some colorful things that they see sent back and forth about Aaron Rodgers. Like, this feels like as much as obviously their best buds, best men, wedding type stuff. Like, you go there because you're trying to stick it to Aaron a little bit. Packers are doing better. The more success they have, it feels better.
I don't think Robert Saleh coming to Green Bay, 0% was, I'm going to stick it to Aaron.
Wait, hold on, though. If they win a Super Bowl, does he get a ring?
Probably.
Hell yeah, brother.
You know Matt's going to go out of his way to do that.
But you know they talked about him for an hour, maybe two.
I don't know if it was that long, because I guarantee, like Josh said, they've been texting about him for a while.
But not they've not been texting. No, not the texting. Audio, voice notes.
Oh, yeah.
Those suckers disappear, right? You cannot risk someone hacking your phone and seeing those texts, man.
It's
the most incriminating conversations I have with people are all voice notes.
Yes.
A little tip for you, everybody out there, okay?
I don't think Saleh was worried about any sort of federal investigation where his texts were going to become public of his true thoughts of Aaron Rodgers.
All someone has to do is hack your phone, man. That's just, you think those pictures, those nudie pictures of people get out there on accident? Maybe I'm paranoid. I got a little aluminum tinfoil hat over here, but I'm a voice note gal now. Just so you know.
I've never used one once in my life.
No.
What?
Never left a voice note.
You do talk to text, we all know.
Yes.
Like, yes.
Yeah, he doesn't
not
care.
Very well.
He's got nothing to hide. Yes, that's also yeah. that's also very obvious.
Sheila on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line does say, I hope they would be more cryptic than texting each other. We all know about text messages and the NFL, don't we? And I believe
and
that is a Croc reference. And we're not talking about Gators.
We were talking about Tom Brady.
I don't get it.
Tom Brady, who smashed his phone, destroyed his phone.
Who had messages between the deflator and him.
Yeah, we know where
he was. Well, I mean, who knows for
sure? I was going...
Routinely just destroyed his phone.
I was going in another direction where this guy should never text ever again in his life.
Yes, 100%. Yes, every time.
You know who I'm talking about?
Four.
I don't get the Crocs. What's the Crocs?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You never saw the picture?
No.
Well, to be fair, he saw it every day in the locker room. So it
what does that have
it.
To do with Crocs? He was
really?
Wearing Crocs?
Famously wearing Crocs.
Chewy, if you were to be standing up and taking a picture of your... your feet would be in it.
And the angle showed the Crocs?
Yes. Were they purple?
I don't remember.
I don't remember the color.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest. I'm trying to forget as much as I possibly can about
that
photo.
We've tried to Men in Black our way through that.
Maybe I didn't look long enough because I was like, "Yep, that's
can't confirm."
Yeah,
wasn't the Batwing, but it looked familiar enough.
Flying squirrel.
The bird bath.
All right, we don't need to put it
pork
on the
chop.
Poll at this point. How many of those do you have?
Well, there's probably at least 10.
See, pork chop, bat wing, bird bath. Oh, the turtle. Okay, everyone gets the turtle where it comes out of its shell.
I was going to say do a live read, but I don't want to do that. To so let's just go to break.
You don't want to
mentality.
Attack a partner.
Yeah, no.
To be fair, mentality would be probably
it would,
the best.
Yes, it would track.
No, it wouldn't.
Okay.
No, it's not even anywhere near that.
Sort of near that.
Do we have a gum read?
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
I mean, Mike.
Average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike
on 94.5 ESPN.
The bugs don't stop here. Milwaukee Bucks.
Bucks open the season last night and get a big victory, 124-109 over the Philadelphia 76ers. Big victory, first game, yeah, because they're going to be competing with the Sixers, obviously, in the East. And they were without their top two players, and the Bucks were without Chris Middleton, and it was close early on. But as the game rolled on, the Bucks were able to assert their dominance. The Sixers, Gabe, just didn't have a lot of options for offense, if you will, because they had those two guys out.
Yeah, I mean, Maxey can only do so much
correct,
by himself.
Correct.
Only so much. So, I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to go out there. You want to dominate a team that's, you know, down a couple of guys. Bucks, obviously, without Chris Middleton in that game as well. But Dame played really well, and it's a good start to the season.
So our buddy, Evan Cohen, who is on Unsportsmanlike, you can listen to him right before us on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. He feels very strongly about the Bucks. He is bullish on the Bucks this season. He thinks that they will win the championship. I know that we may have had Evan sound. I'm not sure if we have it now. Josh, you give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
What was that?
I'm looking for it. I can't find it anymore.
No worries.
It was a thumbs up, and then it was a hey.
I got it.
Well, it's not playing.
Okay. False alarm. Well, thought I had it.
It shows it playing.
It shows it playing, but it's not playing. That's fun.
Let's one more time.
I think the Milwaukee there. Bucks are going to win the NBA championship, and Dame Lillard's going to be the MVP of the NBA.
Whoa.
Go on.
Ooh. Ooh.
So I think they're going to have the year this year that everyone thought they were going to have last year.
Okay.
I think they're pretty damn good, and I think the acquisitions they've made like around the margins are actually pretty good, and I think there's also a clear cut, this is it if you don't do it this year. But I think they're going to be really good this year. And I think Dame could be sneaky MVP candidate. I know most people think he's done. I don't. And I think that Dame's life was a mess. I don't think. I know Dame's life was a mess last year. And I don't. I think that has wear and tear on any breathing human being.
So good points by Evan. You agree?
Yeah, yeah, I love where they're at in terms of Dame, Giannis, year two. We talked about it last year. Year two is when a lot of that growth starts to happen when you bring two superstars like that together. I know a lot of people want to point at what happened with the Mavericks last year, going to the finals in year two of Luka and Kyrie together. And there was a great piece by Eric Name at The Athletic going over everything that Dame did this offseason to get him ready for this season. He feels better than he has in the last couple of years because he didn't feel like he could do everything he wanted to do last year because of the uncertainty, not only in his personal life, but his professional life, because he knew he was going to get traded, just didn't know where he was going to get traded, and the trade happened so late. So, honestly, at the beginning of the season, I think the Bucks are in a great spot.
Who's got a better chance, Packers or the Bucks? Because they're kind of in the same spot.
Yeah, but
right?
We have so many more data points on the Packers right now, Chew.
Yeah, but they really haven't moved the needle for me yet. I mean, if you look...
Hashtag signature win.
No, but if you look, I would say Buffalo's better. I would say Baltimore's better. I would say Kansas City's better. I would say the Lions are better. So you see what I'm saying here. They still have people in front of them that are better, and so do the Bucs. I mean, one game's not enough, but who do they add? Who do they add? Of substance.
Oh, Gary.
When Evan says, I like the pieces they added, who did they add?
Well, around the margins. If watching the game last night, it's amazing how much better Gary Trent Jr. is than Malik Beasley. He can move laterally. He can play defense. And again,
last year they had Pat Beverly. Last year they had Jay Crowder. Now they've got Prince and Wright. Those are defensive upgrades for sure.
Without a doubt.
I'm in a bad spot here. Usually when Gabe gets in the weeds, I have to play the sound on him when it comes to the Bucks, but he was asked about it, so what do I do?
What do you want?
You do the opposite.
What do you want?
Do the opposite.
Come on.
I don't know.
Wait, do we have like a weed whacker sound effect? What do we got?
Yes! I was asked about it, Josh. Yeah, I was asked.
I was rocking a hard place. Good reason to get the audio, though.
That is amazing. Yeah. We've got that all year.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime Gabe gets way too weedsy on the Bucks, we can just pull that out.
Yeah.
It'll be brought to you by John Deere by the end of the season.
John Deere Horcon Works.
Gabe, there's only one thing that is going to make them relevant. One thing. And that, thank you.
It's health, 100%.
That's it.
And they're old.
That is it.
They're just old. Yes. That's my hesitation. I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I am ready to ride the roller coaster with this team, right? But last night on Weekly Wager, we were talking about if you had to put money on whether or not the Bucks will win the championship or not win the championship. And again, I know I'm not allowed to bet on the local team, so I would not do this. But hypothetically speaking, I said I got to bet on them not doing it because I haven't seen enough yet for me to be confident. Last few years, guys, I was all in. I was that person that was like, let's go. We're having another parade. Block off Wisconsin Avenue. It's going to happen. And Gabe was like, pump the brakes, man. It's going to take a little time for this team to get to its spot. And so I think I've been burned. I've got a little PTSD. I've got a little, I'll enjoy the ride. I'll celebrate the wins, but I'm a little gun shy about saying this is a championship team, unlike our friend Evan Cohen over at Unsportsmanlike.
Strategically, though, don't you think it's the best time now?
It's a good bet. Yeah, it's a hell of a bet.
Because if you think these things are going to start getting better and you're betting on health, like it's probably the place to bet them because they're going to start winning games and looking like they are still good. It's still Dame and Giannis out there. That is very much a factor. So, like, in 2 months, it's probably going to be, the odds are going to be much less.
Well, okay, then let's talk about the load management thing, right? This feels like the elephant in the room a little bit. Because you got Embiid out there talking about how he's not playing back-to-backs, and there's this whole thing about, well, is he allowed to do that? Not allowed to do that. Should Giannis be doing some sort of load management throughout the season? I know it goes against his nature, right? It's not in his DNA. But if the most important time for this team to be in a position to win games is at the end of the season, and he has run himself ragged carrying this team through the regular season, should we be saying, I'm okay if Giannis takes more games off this year to be there at the end?
Yeah. Look, the end of the season is the most important thing for this team, 100%. They're going to win enough games. Who cares what seed they end up being? Yeah, as we've seen. I mean, the only one, oddly enough, the only one healthy at the end of last year was Chris Middleton. Because Dame was beat up with the Achilles. Obviously, Giannis didn't play. Yeah, that's the most important thing. Now, these two continuing to grow together, actually having a coach with a plan in place is going to help this team again this year and not have to go through that turmoil. I like where they are in terms of flying under the radar. I don't like the moves the Knicks made. The Celtics are still really good. And they're going to have, I think, some health questions as well because they stayed incredibly healthy last year for the most part. But, yeah, the Celtics are the only team I'm really worried about.
Not worried about the Pacers making strides, not worried about them being a threat to the Bucks.
And here's the other thing, and Josh is probably going to get me with the weed whacker thing. Last night's game was really physical. And Richard Jefferson, doing the game for ESPN, said that's kind of a point of emphasis. If they're going to be allowed to be more physical this year, that plays in the hands of the Bucks, who are an older team and can slow down some of those younger teams with their physicality.
I really like how they spotlighted the pass on the weed whacker there. I really like how they spotlighted.
Was that a good point?
The pick and roll by Dame and Lopez and how well that was working last night. That's not weedsy. That's very surface knowledge level.
He's not going to hit the button on you. No, he's only going to do it to me, I think.
That's fine. So I don't have to
worry
about
it. Unless he gets trigger happy.
More.
I don't know. He might just get trigger happy. Who knows?
It does feel a little like the whammy from that show back in the day, though, doesn't it? It's like no whammies, no whammies, like, no whammies.
Anytime I'm going to be making a point about the Bucks, I'm going to have like an eye over my shoulder at Joshy all season.
I'm going to devise a list back here and it's names. When like AJ Green gets a conversation, who's an important player, but come on, what are we doing?
Yeah, no, that's fair. If he makes like what minimum of six threes?
Yes.
Minimum of six threes in a game, then his name can be brought up.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's weedsy for you. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.